We hope and pray you had a beautiful day. Indeed, God did bless us with some beautiful weather. This time of year, compared to last year, it was gorgeous out there today. And I do hope you got to enjoy some of it, and hopefully will continue to for some time. I'd like to take our time tonight. If you did not pick up one of the handouts, we might have ran out. Maybe we still have some, one or two left. If not, I would encourage you to follow along. I know we had some technical difficulty this morning, so just in case, I got my old handy outline with me tonight. So this is the way I learned to do lessons in school. You had to write an outline. So that's the way I always start every lesson, but it changes quite a bit before it becomes what it is on the screen and what you receive. I want to take our time tonight. I want to study with you. The lesson tonight was actually, I was asked to do this lesson. When Robert was here over the summer, I never ran out of suggestions. There was always plenty of them in the box. I haven't had many since then. Matter of fact, I don't think I've had any in the box since then. So I would encourage you to utilize the suggestion box in the back. If there's a subject or something you would like to study, please let me know. I'm not going to promise you we'll do it, but I'll at least look at what you have. But this was one that I was asked to do, talk about the Lord's Supper, and specifically how often we do it or why we partake every week. We're going to do that tonight. We're not going to look just totally there at the duration of it. We will look at that, but I want to look at just the concept as a whole. We're going to be spending the majority of our time tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you're not familiar with that passage, we read there verse 17 through 22 about the improper partaking of the Lord's Supper, the church at Corinth. They are rebuked by the Apostle Paul, and then commanded in verse 23 through verse 30 of its proper use. We're going to look at that, specifically verse 23 down through verse 29. You can add also verse 30. Verse 30, of course, says that because of this, many of you are sick. Simply what verse 30 says. Verse 23 through 29 will be the majority of our text tonight. So I would strongly encourage you to hold your place there in your Bible. As we go elsewhere, we will keep coming back to that passage tonight. The Lord's Supper. We're going to be looking at this tonight. This do in remembrance of me. You'll notice here up on our communion table, we have this do in remembrance of me. I have never been in a congregation yet that actually has a communion table that doesn't read either this do in remembrance of me or do this. Sometimes it's backwards. Or right words, right? Depending on which translation you have. In remembrance of me. And I believe we often put that inscription on there so as we are partaking, we're to remember. Amen? We're to look back, we're to reflect. And it's very common when those that are overseeing the Lord's Supper, they'll say that this represents the body or this represents the blood. And I think that idea of represents is an okay idea. Not necessarily wrong, but the words Jesus uses is remember. This remembers the body. This remembers the blood. And I think He does so for very, very good reason. He wants us to bring ourselves back to what Jesus has done for us. He wants us to reflect on the punishment and the pain that our sins brought upon Him so that we could be forgiven, so we could be set free, that the God of heaven came down to die for men. And we ought to remember that, amen? We ought to remember, this I do for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remembering Jesus in the Lord's Supper. We read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to go ahead and start with you. Let's look at verse 24 through 26 as we begin. For as often as we eat this bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner he also took the cup after sup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. Till, or yours might read, until he comes. You see, as there are five acts or five steps in one becoming a New Testament Christian, The Bible tells us there are things necessary for one to come to obey the gospel of Jesus. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. One must hear. Jesus Himself said, except that you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. One must believe that Jesus is the Christ. Again in Luke 13, 3 and 5, Jesus says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We must hear, believe, we must repent, turn away from sin. Again, our Lord would tell us that except you confess me before men, I will not confess you with my Father. If you confess me, I'll confess you. If you deny me, I will deny you. There we see the need to confess Him before men, but also to confess Him as Lord of our lives. And then, of course, to be baptized into Christ. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, 16. So hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. But as there are five steps or acts in becoming a Christian, there are also five acts or steps in New Testament worship. A passage I believe where this is illustrated for us is found in the very beginning of the Lord's church in Acts 2. In Acts chapter 2, if you recall, Peter gets up and he preaches that great gospel sermon. The people in verse 37, they're pricked in the hearts. They cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? He tells them, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise is to you, to your children, to those that are far off, as many as the Lord God shall call. With many other words, he exhorts them, saying, save yourselves. And those that gladly received his word were baptized, and 3,000 souls were added unto them. Then comes verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer. This is the ESV. I specifically like here that it illustrates something that's often overlooked in this passage. You'll notice here they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayer. There is four times the definite article is used here. Not a doctrine, not a fellowship, not a breaking of bread, not a, but the. Very conclusive. Now, obviously, when we think about that, they devoted themselves, or they were steadfast, yours might say, they maintained steadfast to the apostles' doctrine, or the apostles' teaching, here the ESV reads, which indeed would include our preaching. It would include our teaching. It would also include our singing. Because when we sing, according to Colossians 3, verse 16, we're told, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing with grace in your heart to the Lord. There's our preaching, there's our singing. The next one there is fellowship, koinonia. That word is used repeatedly, a very common word. It's more than just getting together to eat. It's more than just being on the same page in some things. It's used in 1 Corinthians 8, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, chapter 8, dealing with giving, with one giving of themselves, of their means, or some other thing. It's used in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in reference to the Lord's Supper, the chapter that precedes our study tonight. Koinonia, fellowship with God in communion. And then the breaking of bread, as opposed to what we read later as a breaking of bread. They broke bread from house to house. One's definitive, one's general, one's generic. Now obviously we have to ask ourselves, well, what is the breaking of bread? This is what is called a synecdoche, which is simply a fancy word for saying I went to McDonald's and had a hamburger. A part used in place of a whole. I did have a hamburger, but I also got a sweet tea and a large fry. Or you might say it could also be a whole used in place of the part. You might say I had lunch at McDonald's. I had lunch there, but in reality I brought my drink and I only got a burger. It's used as a part in place of the whole. The breaking of bread, which would bring their mind back to a specific event a specific occasion. If you recall, it's that institution found there in Matthew 26, verse 26 through 28. It's found in Luke chapter 22 where Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. And then, of course, their prayer, our preaching, our singing, our giving, the Lord's Supper, and prayer. There's our five acts, our steps of worship. The five acts or steps there recorded for us. Tonight we want to focus, though, specifically on the Lord's Supper. Many times we can answer what we do, but unfortunately, many times we fail to efficiently answer why we do it. I want us to keep in mind tonight that the why is even more important than the what. We need to understand not only what we do, we need to be able to help people see why we do it. You know, we learn God's way today really in three general ways. Direct commands, inspired examples, and then of course implications. Which an implication is the implied reference of the command and examples. Interesting enough, though, when dealing with the Lord's Supper, we find not one, not two. We find all three. We find direct commands, we find inspired examples, and we find numerous inferences, as we'll see tonight. Tonight we're going to have 5 points. You got your work set out for you. They're real short. It won't take long. 5 points. I know I usually have three, sometimes two. Tonight we have five of them. It's the way the text breaks down, at least from my opinion. The first thing I want to do in our lesson tonight, if you're there in your Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let's go ahead now and begin in verse number 23. And I want to read down through verse 25 as we glean our first point. For as often as we eat this bread, we are to be looking backwards. We are to be looking backwards. Consider with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to start in verse number 23. And I want to read down through verse 25 with you. For as I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also He took the cup, and after sup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." We partake of the Lord's Supper looking back to the offering of Jesus, of the Lord. Amen? That His body is given, that His blood was shed for you and for me. It is only by the blood of Jesus, though, that we can be made right with Him. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 1 through 10, we read that the blood and bulls and goats couldn't do it, that none of man's offerings were sufficient. It's only through the body and the blood of Jesus. Revelation 1, verse number 5, as John is on the island of Patmos in exile for preaching and teaching Christ, we read, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him that loved us and washed us from our own sins in His own blood." Hebrews 10:10. "But that will He has, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ," notice, "once and for all." Our only hope is Jesus, amen? When we come together to worship Him every Lord's Day, we go back to the cross of Christ. We reflect on what it cost Him, that it cost Him His very life. That His body was given. That His blood was shed for you and me. Looking backwards to the command that was given. Luke 22, verse 19 and 20, we read, "And He took bread, and He gave thanks, and He broke it, and He gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Likewise also he took the cup after sup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. We partake in obedience to the command. The command here pointed out in Luke, the illustration made in Matthew chapter 26, the command reiterated for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 25. We look back to the command, but we also look back to the examples, the inspired examples that God has given. As mentioned already in Acts 2, verse 42, the breaking of bread, we read there, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread. We'll read later on in Acts 20, verse number 7. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart, the next day spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. I am leaving in the morning. Hope you ate dinner. Now it keeps on. The young man falls out the window and Paul heals him. It says he continued until the day. So it's not just till midnight. You got to stay till sun up. Nah, I got to be leaving before then, so you guys are lucky. Think about this though. Just look at this. We find there mentioned immediately after their conversion in Acts chapter 2. We find there as the church is established, we find them partaking in all five acts of worship. We find them in the apostles' doctrine, in the singing, in the giving, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. We find it again here, a divine example in Acts 20, that they came together on the first day, implied every first day, just as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, with our giving upon the first day of the week, as you come together. We find the command to look backwards at the command and the examples given. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, they came to break bread, to partake of the Lord's Supper. Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Looking backwards, looking forwards. Consider with me. Let's pick up now, verse 26. 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. We're to be looking forward to the Lord coming again. Amen? You see, my Jesus, He's coming. Yes, He has left this life. He has gone home to heaven. But there's a day that is coming that He will return to bring me home with Him. And I look forward to that day. What about you? Do you look forward to that day? Jesus, we sing, is coming soon. Is He? He's coming sooner today than yesterday, my friend. Are we ready? Are we longing? Are we looking? Are we anticipating His coming? For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He come. It's important for us to notice the duration of this partaking. Oxford defines the word duration to mean the length of time something continues or exists. Notice here, how often are we to do this? How often are we to partake? Until He comes. Until He comes, my friend. That's why we keep partaking. That's why we keep looking forward to the day, as often as until He comes. Knowing that the Lord, though, has gone on from this life, we look forward to Him coming again. This is what Jesus wanted the apostles to understand. In John chapter 14, if you recall there, that last day starts in chapter 13, continues through the first half of chapter 18 in a singular day. And in chapter 14, He says, I'm going. I'm leaving. But I'm going. I'm leaving for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a mansion, a dwelling for you, that where I am, there you one day will be. This is what Paul wanted the church at Thessalonica to understand in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and following through the end, verse 18. 18 says, Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We are not like others that have no hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we believe that He's coming. We that are alive will be caught up together with them those that have died, those that sleep in Jesus. Jesus is coming again. He's coming to take us home with Him. We look backwards, we look forward, but we also must look inward, my friend. We must look inward. Let's continue. Let's pick up verse 27. 1 Corinthians 11. I'm going to read verse 27 down through 29. Here's Paul continues. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself and then so eat the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Paul makes it clear that there is a need for self-examination as we partake. Amen? There's a need for us to reflect, a need for us to look inward. We look backwards to the offering of Jesus. We look forward to His coming, but we also look inwards. We also must discern inwardly why we're partaking. There's a right and a wrong way, a worthy and an unworthy way. The key is found in verse 29. For anyone that eats or drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Start back in verse 17. Catch up to verse 22. Notice the condemnation placed upon them. They had turned the Lord's Supper into a common meal. There is no discernment. And he says, that which you do is not the Lord's Supper. You might call it that. But just because you call it that doesn't make it that. So here we see that need to look inward. You see, I can't do it for you. And you can't do it for me. I don't believe, though, this means that the one partaking must be perfect. I know some have come to that conclusion. But isn't it rather the case that we partake because we're not perfect? And that we need the body and the blood of Jesus? When I preached in South Florida, one of the elders, the congregation I preached for, was very blunt about his belief, that he thought that the idea here was you've got to be worthy. You've got to show yourself worthy that week. And there were a number of people because of this that refused to partake every Lord's Day because they said that week they were unworthy. They made mistakes like you and me, which we all do, my friend. But it's not the idea here we don't partake because we're unworthy. It's the idea we do partake because God is worthy. Amen? God is worthy. And we reflect back on that body. We reflect back on that blood. We discern that body. We discern the need for that blood. What makes the partaking unworthy is when we fail to discern this. If we sin this past week, we don't give up and stop partaking. We keep getting up and trying to do better. Giving thanks for the body and the blood of Jesus. I know that's what I keep doing. What about you? That's our need. That's our need. So we look backwards, we look forwards, we also look outwards. Consider with me. We're going to jump back now. See, some of them you get more than one from the verses. Let's go back to verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. Consider with me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. There is an outward showing of the Lord's death as we partake of the Lord's Supper. We are proclaiming that Jesus died for our sins. We're proclaiming that every Lord's Day as we partake of the fruit of the vine, as we partake of the bread, we're proclaiming that Jesus died for our sins. It's a proclamation. The Lord's Supper gives us an opportunity to teach others, though, about the body and the blood of Jesus that was given for the sins of men. Amen? Jesus died for the sins of men. It's an opportunity for us to share in that joy, to share with them that Jesus offered His body and Jesus shed His blood so we could be forgiven. There are two things we need to take notice of, though, in this verse. First, the direction. Notice here it says to show forth. Did you catch that? Show forth. This is an outward showing though. A showing to the world around us that we believe, that we trust in Jesus. Second, the duration. We spoke of this already. this showing, this partaking of the Lord's Supper is to be until He comes. We're to continue to do this each Lord's Day as we wait for His coming. Last point. See, I told you it wouldn't take long. Backwards, forward, inward, outwards, and upwards. Upwards. Let's go back to the beginning. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Our need to look upwards. Consider with me. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night which He was betrayed, took bread. For I received from the Lord what I have delivered to you. Where did it come from? Where's the source of it? You see, back in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 through 28, and Luke chapter 22, verse 19 and 20, Paul's not there on that day, is he? He's not listed among the apostles at that time. He's an apostle called out of due season or due time. But notice, Jesus Himself has told him what He told them. Jesus Himself has commanded him as He commanded them. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. Paul is correcting their improper partaking. Verse 17 through 22. After addressing what they're doing wrong, He moves on to tell them what they need to get it right. Isn't that amazing? It'd be sad if He stopped just with what we're doing wrong, right? Well, let's sit down for a minute, son. I'm going to tell you everything you messed up today. You didn't clean your room. You spilt your green beans. You didn't eat your dinner. But son, let me also tell you how to get it right. Let me tell you how to make it better. Let me help you do better. It's not just though Paul's opinion. This is the command given to him by the Lord. As we've seen that command given to the apostles in Matthew chapter 26 and Luke 22. It would do us good to always look upwards in all that we do. Amen? It would do us good to always look upwards. Colossians 3 verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word, that's what you say, or deed, that's what you do. Do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through Him. Here again, in the words of our Lord, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, verse 18, He would say, "And Jesus said unto them, All power, all authority is given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name, by the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit." In conclusion tonight, may we never take for granted how blessed we are to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day. Amen? Every Lord's Day, we're given the opportunity to look backwards, forward, inward, outwards, and upwards to remember what Jesus has done for us, to remember the offering that He made for the sins of men. We need to keep in mind, though, that our souls are at stake here. May we never partake in an unworthy manner. May we never deny the body and the blood of the Lord. If you're here, though, and you're not yet a Christian, today is your day. Today's the day to trust Jesus with your salvation, to turn away from a life of sin, to come to know His body, to come to know His blood, to be forgiven. So that when you sit in the audience next Sunday and you partake, you can remember how great of a day it is. You can remember how blessed we are to have that opportunity every Lord's Day to remember what Jesus has done for us. You're here today, maybe you are a child of God, but maybe you've been taking for granted the blessing of partaking. I hope we will regain that joy. If you're here today, you just need the prayers of the church. We're here to pray with you tonight. If we can help you in any way, please come as together we stand and as we sing.